Okay, now to Genesis. Well, there were so many good things in this, it was very hard for me to keep a focus because I kept coming to other good stuff. Usually what I do is I do my study first when I'm going to teach, and then I take some commentaries and take some notes, and then I put them together as a teaching. And then after I've typed them, I go back and I highlight the things that I wanted to share. Well, I realized that it would have all been highlighted, so nothing's highlighted because it's all really, really cool. And I also noticed that at the end of everything I wrote in my sentences, there was an exclamation point. So what I've done is I've taken some high points from this section, and there were so many things that God did, and it was such a cool thing. So just try to follow. It all comes together in the end. So the sons of Israel received the following things: transportation, provision, garments, and riches. They didn't need anything else. And that was all because of Joseph, because who he had become and how he had grown in Pharaoh's eyes and how he had been a person who helped the Egyptians so dramatically to take care of everything in the world when the famine came. And so they received all those things. And isn't it amazing that sometimes God intends to use the people and things that we're trying to get rid of to bless us the most? Sometimes I think, I don't need that. Or something's going on and I don't need that. Or somebody will say something to me and I'll say, I knew that inside. I'm not that mean outside, but inside I'll go, well, I knew that. They didn't have to tell me. And I'm trying to push people out of the way when God's trying to use those very people, those very circumstances that I'm trying to push out of the way to bless me. But my attitude won't allow it. So I have to allow God to change my heart. Joseph says to his brothers as they leave Egypt to go back to Canaan, do not become troubled along the way. And literally it means do not become angry or quarrel. Now, why do you suppose that Joseph thought that might happen? Because he knew his brothers. And even though they had been incredibly blessed, they could probably find a reason to fight. So he's going, go peacefully. Go get our father. Bring him back and don't fight on the way. Sounds like a pretty normal family, doesn't it? Jacob was told that Joseph was dead, and he believed it. Jacob is now told that Joseph is alive, and he didn't believe it. Without further explanation, sometimes we have a tendency to believe a lie more quickly then we will believe the truth. We must seek the truth. And the truth it is that sets us free. And be careful not to be deceived by the lies that Satan wants to throw. He throws them all the time because he knows where we're weak. And so he just throws stuff at us. Don't believe the lie. Jacob believed the lie and he wouldn't believe the truth. Without further explanation, Jacob believes the testimony with whining and self-pity, complaining and unbelieving. Israel believes the testimony of faith. Israel is the evidence of a changed life. It was a long time in coming from the time that God first said, Jacob, I'm going to change your name to Israel, to the time when Jacob was completely changed to Israel. It was a long time. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of circumstances to take Jacob and make him Israel. But now it's happened. God is faithful. He will do what he promises. Joseph's forgiveness changed the lives of his brothers and their family forever. Jesus' forgiveness changes our lives forever. Totally, through this whole book, Joseph is a type of Jesus. He represents what Jesus will do for the world. The competition lifestyle will not be in heaven. The brothers didn't even seem to notice at this point or care that Benjamin got more than they did. That in itself is a miracle. They were not that kind of people. If somebody got more, and this is the normal sibling thing, if one person gets more than the other, hey, you didn't deserve that any more than I did. That's gone. These people's, this family's life is changed. Jacob didn't believe that Joseph was alive even when they came and told him now. But the wagons came to Canaan anyway. This is just a little sidelight that I thought was really cool. The wheel was invented by the Egyptians and had never been to Canaan before. And so when they did the thing with the wagons, when they drove into Canaan, those people had no idea what a wheel was. They had never seen it. And so God was bringing all this blessing to them. And so when Jacob didn't believe that Joseph was alive, that didn't keep God from performing his will, from doing his work. His work, his plan is not based on us. Our belief, our unbelief, it's not based on us. He's so much bigger than that. Praise the Lord, his perfect will is not based on you or me. It's based on who he is. And he will never fail. He will never lie. When we read Genesis 46, 1 to 7, it's the reuniting of the family. A step towards becoming a nation, which will become the descendants in number as the sand on the seashore. This totally dysfunctional, disjointed family, and yet God had a plan to fulfill his promise to Abraham. God placed Joseph in a position to be fruitful and feed the world. What man meant for evil, God meant for good. God used Joseph to provide a land of safety and luxury for his 11 brothers. It is the story of complete forgiveness. Joseph in himself had no obligation to take care of his brothers. They did everything to him but kill him. They thought he was dead and they were happy about it. He had no reason to do what he did except for what God had done. And his father, Israel, is the story of complete restoration when Jacob thought he had lost everything. All the things that we think are true and we think are valid are only true and valid if they're what God's doing. And they're based on his promises. On his way to Egypt, Israel stops to build an altar and worship God in Beersheba. He needed to be sure that the move was right in the sight of God. What a difference. This is the first time he really cared if what he was doing was right in the sight of God. So he stops, he builds an altar, and he worships God. He now wants what God wants and is willing to act on it. 66 family members came out of Canaan. 6 is the number of man. 70 family members when you add Jacob, Joseph, and Joseph's 2 sons. 7 is the perfect number. Joseph is the representation of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect one. And when Jesus is put into the equation, it always makes perfection. He is nothing less than perfect. Judah, the word means praise. He led the way to Goshen. The word means drawing near. The word says in Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's how Judah went. Again, another totally changed man. Also, from the lineage of Judah comes Jesus. That's why Judah led the way. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Following the reunion of his father, Joseph becomes a mediator between his family and Pharaoh. Following the death and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus becomes a mediator between God and man. He's the bridge. He's the way. He's the truth. He is the life. Did God keep the promise? The promise is in Genesis 46:3. So he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. The promise, Exodus 1:7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. They were ready to overtake what was started Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob became Israel. The sons of Israel are now the children of God, and they are multiplying just as God had promised. J. Vernon McGee breaks down Jacob's life into three areas. One, when he lived in the land of Haran, God's man living in the flesh, running away from his father-in-law, and afraid to meet his brother Esau. Then Jacob in the land of Canaan, Jacob's wrestling match, God's man fighting in his own strength. Jacob in the land of Goshen, he's no longer walking in his own strength. He's not running away anymore. He's walking by faith, finally. How long is it going to take us to finally walk by faith? What circumstances are going to have to come into our lives to walk by faith? Jacob and Joseph are reunited. It says they embrace for a good while. Emotions are running high and real. What a marvelous, marvelous reconciliation. Jacob equals Israel equals the child of God who lives by faith. Israel is now a man of faith and of God at last. In Goshen, things change forever. Shepherds hated by the Egyptians providing jobs for the Canaanites. God even made them undesirable to give them jobs there. Who wants to be undesirable? Nobody wants to be undesirable, but that's what gave them the way to make a living, the way to prosper. God knows what he's doing, and we need to recognize that God knows what he's doing. Israel blesses Pharaoh. Pharaoh made all this possible through Joseph's life, but Israel represents God to Pharaoh. When he goes before him, instead of bragging of his accomplishments, which, you know, he did some things, Israel is now a different man. He's old. He's ready to die. But the joy of seeing Joseph rejuvenates him so much, he gets 17 more years to enjoy his family now that they're living in prosperity, now that everything's the way it should be. God gave him 17 more years. Pharaoh, in all his splendor, is blessed by a weary old traveler. The greater spiritually blesses the lesser. in all his splendor. Israel requests to be buried in Canaan. The hope of the Old Testament person who walked with God was that Christ's kingdom will be set up in on earth. So if Israel had no faith, he wouldn't have asked to be taken back to Canaan. He wanted to rise from the dead in the land that God provided for his people. That's one of the reasons he said, I've got to be buried back there. You have to promise me. Because now he trusted that what God said, he was going to do. If he didn't have faith, he wouldn't have cared where he was buried. He wants to be raised from the dead in Canaan. Friend or Pharaoh, we get to bless either way by two things. We get to bless people by the words we say. The Lord bless you today. May his grace be upon your life, to your boss or whoever, Christian or non-Christian. Say the words that bless people. They won't understand, but God sees. And God's presence goes in their day when you say, the Lord bless you today, Christian or non-Christian. And by the way, we pray. May the Lord fill your house with his peace. Bless the people in that house today. I love driving at night and looking into houses. And when I do that, I think, I wonder if that house is peaceful or if that house is chaotic. I wonder if the people that those lights are on, I wonder if they know Jesus. Bless them as you go. Pray for the people in those houses. May the Lord bless your day. This is the privilege we have to bless people. Now, our blessings won't always be misunderstood if you say them out loud, or won't always be understood. They may be very misunderstood. But you just continue to put God on those people. Bless them. Pronouncing blessings will teach people, but it will also radically change you. If I bless people, my own life will be blessed. Matthew 5, 10, and 11 in the New Living Translation says this: God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil against you because you are my followers. John Corson has this really succinct little quote. It says, what flows through me sticks to me. What comes out, that's going to stay in your heart. What you say, that's what's going to be you. Mumble, grumble, snivel equals a small, bitter me. Blessing, beauty, peace equals an expansive, delightful me. Bless and pray. And you open the door for God to bless his people and you as well. If you take this whole story, you realize that God's word is true. His faithfulness is beyond measure. He did everything he said he was going to do. And he will continue to do everything he says he's going to do. He's coming back for us. He's taking us to be with him. We're going to live in 1,000 years of peace in the city of Jerusalem, serving God the way it was intended to be from the beginning. That's all going to happen. So walk as if it's going to happen. Bless people. Pray for people. And allow God to do his work in you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for using us. Thank you for the privilege that we have to know that you are the truth and you will do what you said. In Jesus' name, amen.